You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my co-founder here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. We are ready to talk some Packers. I am at the LiveX studio here in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live in Green Bay across the street from Lambeau Field. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we'll try to figure out how the Green Bay Packers lost yet another NFC championship game. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
MVS and Kenny Clark.
We got the bad. We got
Mike. It's fourth down. Petten.
We got the ugly. We got
Kevin. Is that guy fast? King. Corey, how the hell are you, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
That about covers it. Let me tell you, buddy. That about covers it.
Man. Ooh, lordy.
Can I just
it all ends so quickly.
Can I just say, this shit sucks, man. They should be going to the Super Bowl. They should be going to the Super Bowl. Banky!
I can't tell you how many times I've thought that. Yeah, in my life.
Let's start on a. Well, I'll try to steer the positive here. How was the game? How was being at Lambeau? I know the results sucked, but how was the atmosphere? How was being in the stands? Finally, waited all year to get in. You finally got in. How was it?
It was great. I mean, it was Lambeau. It was Lambeau Field. A lot less people. It was pretty loud. We had these. They gave out these white. They didn't have the Cheesehead TV stickers, but
no.
They gave out. You could pick Get Loud Lambeau, Go Pack Go. It was cool. And someone had done the due diligence at Lambeau Field of like smashing these against bleachers,
right?
Because that one probably got smashed against a bleacher like 2,000, 3,000 times, and it's held up pretty good. So, you know, you had a mix. It really felt like Lambeau Field in the good and the bad, which I loved. It was kind of weird to go to the bathroom and be one of the only people in the bathroom. That's just kind of weird aside. But like, there were Lambeau trolls. Like, I still haven't met some people on Twitter that are as bad as Lambeau trolls. So there was a Lambeau troll behind us. So my cousin and I were kind of sharing the same looks we share when we're
right.
in a normal regular season game. So that was amazing. You know, everybody in the stands stepped up to the level that they needed to step up to. It's unfortunate that the Green Bay Packers chose not to. But it was a very, very, very it was great. It was great to be at Lambeau. I'm very lucky. I'm very privileged to have been there. And I thank my family for allowing us cousins to go in our grandpa's seats.
Yeah, well, I was here at the watch party with Perry. And it was fun until it wasn't. And then it sucked.
You probably had more fun, though, overall than me, though.
I don't know. Maybe. Who's
I rewatched the Rivet thing back. I couldn't hear you guys because I didn't bring, like, a little wired mic.
You kept going, like, they touchdown. It was riveting content.
It looked
content.
Pretty good, though.
It did look great.
It actually, like, it did look good. You know, the Packers didn't shut us down yet, so we're still here.
A lot of ball game left. We'll talk about the Packers. I'm very interested to explore the Packers troll that you were talking about, but I feel that there's a cross-section here of the type of person who is a troll, who is a Packers fan, and at Lambeau, and the, you know, types of internet trolls that we encounter from time to time. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
in the blogosphere.
They're very different things. Yeah.
But there is some intersection. Variations. I feel like there's definitely
there
some
is.
Intersection.
There's a Venn diagram.
Yeah,
there's a cross.
Yeah, right. There's sure. a spot where they meet. Let's start with some news. Got to talk about the news. Hey, Corey, I don't know if you know this. The Green Bay Packers lost another NFC Championship game.
So Sunday the Green Bay Packers lose the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Monday, the Packers Pro Shop can't take money literally all day. And literally, you go to the Packers Pro Shop, you're like, I want to buy this stuff. They're like, oh, I'm going to hold that for you. Can you give me your number? We're going to call you back tomorrow when the credit card machines are working and take your money. Tuesday, there's an accident after the sun goes down on Lombardi Avenue. Car rolls over. I do not know if anybody's hurt or not, but literally the car rolled over onto a transformer that took out Titletown Development, so Lodge Kohler couldn't turn their grill on. Hinterland shut down. Everybody shut down over there. Like, so basically all the tourists that came, the few tourists that came, they're like, hey, let's go to Titletown Development tonight on Tuesday night. No. And then this morning we wake up and Leroy Butler didn't make the Hall of Fame. And you're like, really? Really? What else? What else? Is like a meteor going to dump on this house right now? Like, what else?
It's a tough kind of row. We're kind of, you know, we keep getting hit after hit after hit. And you're right. That was the news that Leroy himself tweeted out this morning. Leroy Butler does not make the Hall of Fame yet again. Now, we don't know who got in yet. But I'm just telling you this right now.
We just know that he didn't.
Yeah. We just know that he didn't. But I'm telling you this right now. If John King Lynch gets in, I'm going to go completely ham. I may just go burn down the building in Canton because that will be a travesty.
This is the part in the YouTube video where you put that little card thing that's like, watch Aaron Nagler talk for 1 hour about why John Lynch and Leroy Butler can compare themselves. Just letting your future self know that.
It's just making me mad. It's making me mad just even talking about it.
It's ridiculous.
Speaking of, Al or Matt in the studio, I got an echo in my speaking voice in my headset. I don't know if that's coming across on social, but just letting you guys know, like a delay. Rodgers makes people lose their minds. I mean, here we are. We're grown adults. We've watched a football game. And rather than talk about the game and everything that happened in it, Aaron Rodgers gets on Zoom for 10 minutes and the whole fucking planet loses its mind and is continuing to days later. So that's nice. Don't even worry about the fact that there was a football game where, you know, 50-plus individuals on each side worked and fought, and one side was victorious and the other wasn't, and all these humans were involved. No, this 10-minute little passive-aggressive nonsense after the game has dominated all the headlines. So, I don't know. It's just – that's in the news, so I got to name-check it, but I'm so sick of it. And I'm sure we'll talk about it in blogosphere because we have to because it's Aaron Rodgers. Next up, we got Mark Murphy. Following said post-game nonsense, goes on the radio and says, we're not idiots. He literally says, we're not idiots. We're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. I love that he felt the need to let people know. It felt like he was kind of like staring right at the Houston Texans as he said it. Like, this is how a real organization is run. We don't entertain trade proposals or ideas from our quarterback. But of course, you know, people are going to make hay out of that. So he has to say something, and he's asked about it, what have you. So that's been, you know, a week. And then finally, just to end, you know, as you're saying, like this trend of just.
It's not the end of the week, Nagler.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Just
a week that is just continuing to pummel us blow by blow. A lot of body blows this week from the old Packers universe. Corey Linsley, in about the only bit of news we've got, because we haven't heard from Coach yet, and I think maybe we'll hear from Brian later this week. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But the only real kernel of news to come out of availabilities so far is that Corey Linsley's representatives have not heard from the Packers. There has been zero talks, absolutely nothing going on, which is not surprising, but it is depressing because it inches us closer to the inevitable departure of Corey Linsley as a Green Bay Packer.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know.
If there was one player that really no one's talking about, and I kind of put in my Twitter,
right. Corey, we have breaking news. We have literal breaking news. Uh-oh. Hit the.
Oh dear.
The Packers are parting ways with special teams coordinator Sean Menenga. Tom Pelissero reports Sean Menenga, he out. I mean, okay. I can't say I'm surprised.
Is anyone surprised? Zero people.
Zero humans are surprised. I mean,
no one. There's probably some people that don't follow this here website or watch this here show or on Twitter who are like, right. Who's Sean Menenga?
That's fair. That's a fair point. I mean, when you're historically bad at your job, or I'm sorry, when the results are historically bad, Packers giving up two punt returns for touchdowns for the first time since the 60s. Yeah. You have to think it's probably time to be moving on. I know everyone's probably going to be asking about Mike Pettine, but we haven't heard anything.
We're going to get to that.
We haven't heard anything on Pettine. Maybe he's still talking to Matt LaFleur, which is entirely possible. Sorry about that.
We're going to get to that.
Sorry about that.
Fine.
Had to get the breaking news out there.
That's the last time Sean Menenga is going to interrupt me, so it'll be okay.
Fair point.
I was going to talk about the most missing player from Sunday that we really, really missed, especially given the scheme and the game plan that Coach actually went for, is David Bakhtiari. So it is, I know that the wannabe capologists, the pseudo analysts, all these people in the media, I understand what 30 teams do in the NFL when it comes to draft and value and all this garbage that they're going to put out and
right.
whatever. But I also understand that the Packers tend to view things a little differently. And, you know, one of the ways that you sustain success is by, you know, putting the pieces in place that you need, that you know. Right? Not the things that you don't know. And obviously you do have to move on at some time. This is a temporal game.
Right.
Things turn over very quickly. Different positions turn over at different times. And that's literally what you're trying to do is in this temporal thing, have this spectrum across all these age groups and all these position types so that you're in the middle and you're in that gold zone. Not to bring that up because the Packers were playing that incessantly at Lambeau Field, by the way, because they couldn't get any of the cast members there. So they made a bunch of videos about it to appease the players, I believe. Mm-hmm. You want to be in this band and, you know, Corey Linsley and David Bakhtiari and these guys, and they put you in this band. You know what you have, right?
Right.
So, and I know, you know, Goody's going to weigh, like, is this person's value based on what I understand? There's a numbers game, but it is, you know, missing that key player in this game could have been the difference.
It absolutely could have been. And I'm glad you said that, Corey. I lied, Al. It's still, the echo is still, the delay is still there. There's no question that it could have made a difference. I've seen so much kind of, you know, so many people declaring what is or what would have or didn't make a difference, or this is because of that. And it's like, it's a football game. It all works in concert. Pieces obviously fit together, and the Packers are a better team with David Bakhtiari on the field. There's no question about that. But, you know, they at some point, if you're the coach, you don't have David Bakhtiari, you got to adjust. You know, and we're talking about the offense here, so let's just dive into the offensive side of the ball. From this game, you talk about a team that was clipping along, had a game script that worked each and every week, namely get ahead, but you know, mix in the run with the pass, be very efficient on offense, and, you know, end up in the red zone and then end up scoring. That has happened more often than not. And to kind of come out and kind of stub their toe, so to speak, it was shades of 2019. Their identity was lost. It just felt like, especially in the second half when I know they were behind, but they got back into the game with a long, sustained drive, and then they get that interception from Jair, and they just never regained it. It was just the weirdest thing to me. And the sense of, like, it almost felt like Rodgers wanted to go spread again, and we wanted to spread it out and get everybody out and for, you know, out in their routes. And that's not how they won all these games this year. So yeah, to me, the identity, and that's a mix. That's LaFleur and that's Rodgers. It's not one or the other. It's both of them. That I just feel like, the identity that they had that was so successful all year was lost. And I understand they got behind, but like I said, they scratched and clawed their way back into that game. They scored points in that game to get back into that game at first by keeping their identity. So that's, I don't know. It was hard.
I mean, I do believe when I left that game, and I still believe, and I haven't watched it again, but I do believe that the 2020-21 Packers got to where they were because they had this juggernaut of an offense. And that juggernaut of an offense stubbed its toe early, got down, and kind of forgot itself, exactly what you're saying.
Right.
What will go down in history to me about this game, like if the 2007 NFC Championship come down to, you know, Jarrett Bush falling on the ball and Brett Favre not seeing four open wide receivers and throwing it to the one guy that gets him an interception.
Right.
If that's right, because that's like the legacy of that game.
Yep, no question.
If the legacy to me of this game will be back-to-back interceptions, six offensive plays that were offensive and that will haunt the Packers and Matt LaFleur, I hope, throughout his coaching tenure. Because F the fourth down, go for it, F everything else. The times you win championship football are when you take the ball back from an opponent. And that's the only way you're going to get back. So who we were in that game from a defensive standpoint is who we were all season.
Yes,
but we were
that's
not
a really
that
good,
offense all season.
Point.
We were not that offense. That what they put on the field on Sunday, we did not see. Maybe we saw glimpses of it in week six.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But we got
or
down.
At, you know,
one
other times
thing we could afford
year.
Not to do is get down and not come. Like, we're an offensive juggernaut. Where was that team?
Right.
Where was that team?
Well, and okay, the opponent gets paid too. They're very good. They are in the Super Bowl for a reason. You know, they won three playoff games on the road. They earned the right to be on Lambeau Field with the Packers, and they took it to them. You know, those edge rushers, to me, you look at the tackles were really overmatched. And, you know, I had people up in my mentions this week talking about Billy Turner not being worth the contract again. I thought we had moved past that. You know, there's no question Billy and Rick were completely overmatched. There's no doubt about it. The tackles really struggled. But that doesn't erase everything they did to help get the Packers to this point in the NFC Championship.
No.
They're not in the game.
Not.
They're not even playing in that game without what Billy and Rick have done all year. Billy especially has more than justified that contract as far as his versatility, his ability to play not only guard but both tackle spots. I mean, just the contract thing always bugs me because it's the lens and the prism some people kind of view everything through when they're looking at the when they're looking at the players. But to me, that is also comes back to you talking about identity. It really I don't understand why LaFleur didn't recognize the fact that his guys weren't holding up. And it's twofold. Again, it is twofold on the coach and the quarterback. One, if you're the coach, give those tackles some help, man. Play a couple more sets where you've got your tight end in line. Run that that running back, or make sure he's chipping, or what, you know, slide protect and then roll Rodgers away. Move the pocket. Do something. And I always saw a little bit of that, but man, repeatedly. And then you flip it over to the quarterback side. Aaron, buddy, you know, especially by the second half, you know these guys are getting worked. You got, if you want to spread it out, go five wide, go empty, which they did a number of times, you got to get the ball out of your hands. You know these guys aren't holding up. So it's, again, it's an identity thing. It's getting away from what made you successful all year. It's just hard. It's just both of them. You know, if you're going to be the coach and the play caller and the quarterback who reap all this praise all year long for this juggernaut, to use your word, Corey, offense, well then, you know, it's time when you struggle to turn the spotlight back on you again and say, these are the things that you have done all year that you didn't do in this game.
I think that the big takeaway, I hope that Aaron and Coach take away, because they're going to have to play one more year together at least, is the inability of both of those men as leaders to self-scout adequately.
That's a really
and
good point.
You brought up a really good point about, you know, all season you were bitching about, you know, us going down to the play clock to zero, right, to zero, right, to zero, to zero. If you know that the other team blitzes, if anything that you do, and Aaron Rodgers knows this better than me, I sound like a fool even talking about this. So
yeah, but that's the identity of this whole, that's the identity of this whole podcast. We both don't know what the hell we're talking about, but that's what we lean into. Well, we stay with our identity, like, Corey.
I think it's great that, you know, you looked at film from 10 years ago and saw that you did something in your hitch and your drop back, right, that like makes you a better player today. Mm-hmm. But I wish that you looked at all of the games where you let the clock go to zero, because guess what? Your opponents were looking at that too, and they took advantage of it on Sunday. Your opponents took advantage of all of your habits and all of the things that you and Coach are not self-scouting.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality, right? Better, more experienced men beat the Green Bay Packers coaching and leadership in this game. And because we had an offense, like, had they gone to their game, there's no way anybody can stop them. I still believe that even after Sunday.
Well, we said it all year, and I know I said it on the radio the other day. The only team that could beat this team was this team. The 2020 Packers were the worst enemy in this game. Whether it's Aaron Jones fumbling deep in his own end, whether it's Kevin King completely melting down at the end of the first half, you know, Redmond's dropped interception. You know, there's a litany of things. Like, there is pretty much on every one of these games where they break our hearts. But to me, Corey, yeah, I know you were really passionate after the game. I saw your tweets about that sequence where Jair gets the two interceptions and the Packers basically throw it, or attempt to throw it, six times. There was a sack in there, and end up punting twice. You know, it's funny because on the mic'd up, if you listen, you hear LaFleur go, let's spread it out and we want to go after him. And I'm like, what are you doing? And that's exactly what I asked him after the game in regards to trusting his quarterback too much. We all love Aaron. Aaron's a brilliant talent. He's had an MVP season. He hasn't had an MVP season by spreading it out and throwing it around the yard like he did under Mike McCarthy when he was 27. He's 37. And he had an MVP year by running your offense, not by spreading it out. That to me is, like, I'm not going to say egregious, but to your point, Corey, it's a real lack of kind of self-awareness, I think, and an ability to look at yourself critically. And it's kind of what happened last year in San Francisco. You know, they came back and tried to run basically the same stuff they ran the first time around. It's like, well, you didn't match up too well the first time. And I understand coaches always say, well, it's just bad execution. But so, like I said earlier, the other team gets paid too. And at some point, you have to recognize that they are controlling things. You know, that's to me the most kind of frustrating aspect of that sequence.
I guarantee you, and this is not a knock on Aaron, but I guarantee you, Tom Brady, what makes him one of the best quarterbacks of all time is his ability to self-scout and not give away his tendencies.
Right.
He makes it look so easy. That guy makes it look so easy. I can't stand the guy as far as, like, in sports.
Right.
But I got a lot of mad respect for the dude, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. There's no doubt about it. It's, you know, given what he did to the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, wow.
Yeah. I just want to address a few things in the comments because people are always chirping in. Of course, they want to be heard, but they, you know.
I thought we don't read the comments.
No, I'm reading them right now because I got to make sure I don't miss any super chats, Corey. Got to make sure they're in the queue for later. But, you know, first of all, a lot of the drops are an issue. But I do find it interesting that everyone's killing EQ for dropping the two-point conversion, which, by the way, was tipped. Go back and watch the game again. It was tipped, and I know it still hits him, but the flight of the ball completely changes your hand-eye coordination. That's a real tough catch. But no one talks about the fact that Davante Adams literally dropped a touchdown pass on the back shoulder throw that ended up being a field goal early in the game to make it 14-10 rather than 14-14. You know, there were a lot of problems. There were a lot of issues.
Oh, there are mistakes that go all around, but the piece of thread that – I don't know anybody. Like, I'll go toe-to-toe with Pete Doherty. I'll go toe-to-toe with Wes. I think most people would agree the inability of the 2020-2021 Green Bay Packers to not capitalize on those six plays and those six, that
I totally
is the
agree.
Difference. That is the reason we are sitting here about to cry.
Well, I will say this, because I know a lot of people have pointed to, there was a lot of chatter on Monday about the decision by LaFleur to kick the field goal rather than to let Aaron and the offense go for it on fourth down. I have zero issue with that, and let me tell you why. All throughout kind of the last 2-3 years in football, we've heard people talking about coaches playing scared, and everyone's like, oh, he's playing scared. In fact, LaFleur is doing the exact opposite in that situation, where he is saying, I want to win this in regulation. You know, yes, you could possibly score a touchdown. I'm saying possibly. It's not, obviously not a given, but you could possibly score a TD, and then you could also possibly get the two-point conversion. Not that you've had a great amount of success up to this point doing that, but you could. So now it's a tie game, and you're giving the ball to Tom Brady in a situation where all he needs is a field goal to go down and win it and send his team to the Super Bowl, so you got to get a stop. Instead, Matt LaFleur kicks the field goal and now has all three timeouts, and he's on the good side of the two-minute warning. And the Bucs did a monster favor for the Packers when the returner slid down before the two-minute warning, basically giving them a free timeout. So he kicks that field goal with the idea of, I've still got to stop Tom Brady, but if I do it, now Aaron's got the ball to go win the game in regulation. You're not playing to, quote-unquote, get it to overtime. He's playing to win the game
and also,
in regulation.
When you look at the, I think some of the stats I saw, it was 9.5 to
that's the other thing. The win probability goes down by 0.5%. According to ESPN stats and info, literally.
Let the coach decide which one he wants to do.
I just, you know, exactly. But that's the other thing. I'm glad you said that, Corey. Because that's the other thing that drives me insane is, like, the complete overreaction and declaration of, oh, this is an egregious mistake by Matt LaFleur. It's so clear he's such a young coach. He doesn't know what he's doing. No. No. He's just got a different methodology and a different way of working. And like we just pointed out, it's a 0.5% difference in win probability, and he's trying to win the game in regulation. That's his decision. He's the coach. I get it. And, like, you can disagree. Reasonable people can say, oh, I don't really agree with that methodology or that idea. Fine. That's great.
Yep.
But to sit there, and so many people have on the internet this week, like, oh, it's just, he should be fired. There were people literally saying he should be fired. I mean, come on. Come on.
Whoever said that, I wish you could, like, revoke your fan card. Not me do it, but someone do it.
Exactly.
I wish there were, like, rules. That should be a rule, though. Coach should be fired for what?
Dan Miller, Brady threw three picks and should have been four. Negs, you passively, aggressively do not like Aaron. No, I very openly love Aaron and have expressed it both publicly here on my Twitter feed and to Aaron himself. It's just funny how soft people get when it comes to Aaron. Like, he's not above criticism, guys. Like, it's okay.
Do they get soft like Mike Pettine's defense?
Hey-o! Should we talk about the defense? Shall we? Shall we?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we've heard a lot about Kevin King and Mike Pettine. You know, we talked – Kenny Clark was in the good category at the start of the show. I thought Kenny had a great
game. Kenny Clark had a game.
He had a game.
My goodness.
He showed up. Mm. You know who hasn't been talked about a lot this week? You know, and obviously the Aaron Rodgers oxygen is taking up pretty much everything when it comes to the Packers right now. But you know what hasn't been talked about a whole lot? Is Za'Darius and Preston kind of MIA in that game. And I understand, and I'm not talking just like, oh, they didn't have any sacks or whatever.
There were some flashes, but yeah.
There were flashes at times, and I thought Za'Darius and Preston at times did it okay work against the run. And I recognize that it's difficult to get to Brady. You know, he gets the ball out in very, you know, few seconds, and he gets the ball out in rhythm, and it's hard, a lot of those three-step drops, etc. We have also seen that when he does have pressure in his face, when Savage is screaming around the edge, he just throws it up, you know, and that's an interception. Like, so I get it. It's tough. But you are the stars, especially Za'Darius, and you have been a force, so to speak, on the defensive side all year long, especially in the second half of the season, and then to completely just disappear is disappointing. And
well, I think you can say on the defensive side, I think you'd agree, like you need 3 to 6 players to be superstars in a game. And we had 3 players. We had Jair, we had Kenny, and we had Adrian Amos.
Yeah. And even Adrian had
outside
a bad play,
of that,
you know?
And
even Adrian got taken advantage of on the play action.
He had some pretty good plays, though.
Yeah, 100%. Well, he had the huge interception on 2nd and 10. Total momentum shifting.
Jair was like a monster.
Oh, Jair was amazing. And yeah, I totally agree. But yeah, it is disappointing. Speaking of disappointing, on his way out the door, Kevin King lets us down one last time. Man, it's no secret I love Kevin. I think he's been a whipping boy for Packers fans forever, unnecessarily and unjustified. But there is no doubt he had his worst game as a pro at the worst possible time on Sunday. And you don't have to look much further, obviously, than the play at the end of the half. No one cares about the number of good plays he made because there were. They're there on the tape. I don't have to talk about them. You can go watch them yourself. But no one's going to because no one gives a shit. All they want to do is bitch. And I understand. Because that play at the end of the first half was absolutely atrocious and inexcusable. And if there was any lingering possible glimmer that the Packers may talk to Kevin about an extension, you can bet it was extinguished there at the end of the first half. It's fourth down. They have no timeouts. You know, never mind the call. I know the man call is fucking absurd. And who knows, maybe Pettin still swings. We'll see here. Maybe it'll break while we're still live. But, you know, how on earth, what are you looking at? He's watching Brady instead of the receiver. What are you doing? It's just atrocious. Atrocious is the word I'm going to use here, Banky.
That was the whole entire first half. Really, if you just switched them, that was what we do to teams.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we had 2 or 3, like, oh, we got a touchdown.
We're the team that gets a comfortable lead and then, like, maybe sweats it out towards the end as they come back. Right?
Yeah.
That's who they were.
Yep.
I hear you.
We literally just changed roles.
Yep.
And it goes back to that whole identity thing where, like, I do discount, and I know, so Nagler is waiting for me to apologize, I know. I know what he's doing, okay?
He's been passive-aggressively tweeting me.
Nagler, just let me talk right now.
All right.
So he's been passive-aggressively tweeting me because, you know, I've been telling him to be quiet about the defense and, like, oh, don't talk about the defense. And so I figured he was going to completely destroy me today. But we're actually in agreement that it was the offense, but... But, yeah, like, I thought you were going to come into this show when we started and be like, you know what? Remember when you told me that the defense doesn't matter? Well, it mattered in this game, Banky. I literally thought that's how we were going to start the show. So, you know.
No.
Hate to say you were right. I kind of knew it. I kind of was in denial about the defense. I was like, just please, offense, save us from ourselves. And, you know, I don't know. I know a lot of people want to blame Mike Pettin. I don't know what it is. We've got this.
Here's a nugget from Domofsky that is very interesting. Mike Pettin's contract is currently coming to an end. It's not, he hasn't been fired, but Mike Pettine
might not be re-signed.
Opted not to sign an extension after last year. So who knows? Matt just gives him the old handshake, says thank you for your service, and
thank you for
doesn't
your
have
service.
To fire him, and away they go.
See you next time.
I mean, if you're Matt LaFleur, and look, we've talked about it on this program many times, mostly when I'm bitching about the defense. You know, Matt has not seemingly been too kind of hidden with his frustrations at times when it comes to not just the play of the defense, but the calls that Mike Pettine has made. You know, I asked him about it when he was on the program about, well, why did it take till week 16, 17 to be talking about, maybe don't play 7 yards off on third and two, et cetera, which he brought up unprompted. That's the other thing. No one asked him. Wilde asked him at that availability. Wilde asked him a very general, what's your defense kind of like question. And Matt specifically, unprompted, brought up that, you know, lack of press coverage, you know, guys playing soft, etc. So I got to think there's a bit of a disconnect there. But he knew they were successful. They've been to two NFC Championship games. But I got to think Matt is hoping that Mike maybe walks away and he's able to hire his own guy. Because as everyone here remembers, Pettine was a McCarthy hire. So I got to think that's in play right now. You know, that would seem to make the most sense.
Here's the thing that I think that is kind of crazy, right? It's like Matt LaFleur is really good at his job for a whole host of reasons, but he keeps things very close to the vest when it comes to that stuff. And I do think it's fascinating that this whole season, we have no idea what he really thinks about Mike Pettine.
I would tend to agree. I would very much agree, actually. I think he's done a good job of being even keeled about it, you know? All right, Corey. You ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. This week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, this week in the Packer blogosphere, absolutely nothing happened. Everybody was copacetic, and we lived in peace and harmony. On to the YouTube chat.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wait, maybe not. Holy shit, Aaron Rodgers coverage. This is the thing that pisses me off the most, Banky. Like, I understand.
We watched this happen, by the way. We've already seen this whole
understand.
Thing happen, by the way.
I understand Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. I understand he is the thing that stirs the drink. I get that everybody in the media needs to do their Aaron Rodgers thing because it's what gets clicks. I mean, we've got Pat McAfee himself yesterday with Aaron Rodgers talking about, oh, sorry, I had to, like, you know, go on ESPN and talk about you going to the Colts. Like, everybody has to do it. Like, I get it. I get it. But it's just hilarious how fucking dishonest everybody is about it. Like, it drives
me insane.
Like, even Rodgers himself talking about, I'm the only one who...
They all are.
I'm the honest athlete at the... Get out of here, Aaron. Come on.
No.
Give me a break. Like, look, I'm not telling tales out of school here. I mean, everyone wants to rip PFT for the report that Aaron Rodgers wants more money in his contract. Aaron Rodgers wants more money in his contract. He's out of guarantees. Like, this is not rocket science. Like, yes, Rodgers would prefer a stronger commitment from the Packers. Shock. Oh, my God. The thing that makes me so mad about it, Corey, is that, as I intimated earlier, 10 minutes on Zoom, I don't even know how long he talked. Maybe it was 5 minutes, 8 minutes. I don't know. But that little Zoom session overshadowed everything that happened on the football field. And everything that happened on the football field means way more than anything that was said on that fucking Zoom call. It just drives me nuts. The instant, oh, Rodgers unhappy in Green Bay. He could be traded. He could be, what, might he sit out? Like that, can we come back from La La Land? But I know everybody who's out there producing content saying, oh, what are the top five trade destinations for Aaron Rodgers? You are the most intellectually dishonest bullshit on the net. Give me a break. Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere. He knows it. The Packers know it. And everyone around the team, covering the team, and a satellite of the team knows it. But we all do. Ooh, maybe he could. Oh, that's sweet, sweet engagement. Yeah. He could. Let's Photoshop him in a Colts jersey. Give me a break. Meanwhile, there are 52 other dudes who were suited up or were at least dressed for that game who get no mention, who get nothing. I mean, Corey Linsley played his most likely last game as a Green Bay Packer. We got nothing about it. Aaron Jones most likely played his last game.
He did a press conference. At least they gave Corey
Linsley. At least they got an availability out of it, no doubt. Hey, that's great. You know who I saw wrote about it? Packers.com. I haven't seen much from ESPN about it. I haven't seen much from the Journal Sentinel about it. You know, it's like it's all Rodgers. And that's not to, it's not to completely throw those outlets under the bus because there has been some other content. I get it. But it's been all Rodgers all the time. Give me a fucking break.
There are two sides that are completely complicit in this. And one is we've talked about this whole entire season, and Rodgers has talked about it on Pat McAfee Show, and we talked about in the 216 episodes of this show probably, is right. That game ends and a elite cadre of underpaid writers and reporters and journalists
right.
get together as a collective, but not like they don't collude, right?
Collude.
They,
nice.
They go into
Good
this.
Word.
They don't collude, right? They're a super PAC, and they go to a box and they go, okay, what did the Packers do? Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, Aaron Rodgers said that. Okay, we're going to be in this box now, and this is the box that we're in, and now we're in this box, right? And what Aaron Rodgers has done, so the second thing I want to say is what Aaron Rodgers has done is he's made it seem like, oh, yeah, just I'm on this show just saying what I want to say.
I'm just winging it here with Pat.
There are two things going on here, right?
Doing.
He's taking advantage. One, he knows it 1,000,000% what he's doing, and I'm not calling him. It's just easy. Like, it's not even like he's a genius. Like, it's just that easy because if I know number one, if I know they're going to go in the box, right, then you can drive that narrative. You know they're going to pull this big narrative thread, and all of them are complicit. I almost retweeted Jen Latta and was like, did you go over to the dark side? Because she's talking to Julie Stewart Binks about like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to leave. And like, they're all complicit. All it takes is for one of the two in the group to go. And then the herd goes, okay, here we go. And the herd is going down the plane. And then, so Aaron Rodgers is just taking advantage of that. He's like, oh, you guys are going to be in this little box. Okay, well, I'm going to do this and this. Make you look like idiots. And now, remember, this is the thing that I find funny, is that we live in a world where journalists and reporters think it's their job, because they tend to break news, because they get it from a source,
right. They
think they're newsmakers. But Aaron Rodgers is the newsmaker.
Right.
You're just a newsbreaker. That's all you are. So there becomes this, like, now, especially with Twitter and social media, there becomes this play where, you know, we were like, hey, this is going to give the fan a direct outlet to the player. But instead what's happened is the players get to drive the biggest players, right? The biggest names, the marquees,
right.
The superstars,
the guys,
right?
Who know they
that's just
move
how
the needle.
Hollywood is,
yeah,
too, though. That's how Hollywood is, too,
yeah.
Right? It's like,
naturally.
He's taking advantage of how the ocean is, right? And make no mistake about it, this is completely contrived and not in a way that's rigged. It's just X thing happens,
right.
These things are going to follow.
And I totally get that. I know the frustration is, and I don't know anything, obviously, about what anybody's been told. Anything in that regard, but I have to assume there are people who have heard stuff on background, you know, heard it from somebody who's connected to Rodgers, whether it's his agent or whatever. And I have no doubt they know things secondhand, right? And it's frustrating when they get ganged up on Twitter and like fans go, oh, well, you know, you don't know anything, you're making shit up, you're fake news, whatever. And I understand that frustration, but at the same time, maybe don't jump to, oh, Aaron sure sounds like a guy who's ready to leave when he has like a frustrating press conference after a really frustrating loss. Like, that's all that is. That's all it was. That's all it needed to be. But everybody has to blow it up into this huge thing to drive the content machine for 3 or 4 days. And that's why I get upset. And I know.
But here's the thing. What if? But here's the thing, and I don't think this thread will result in this, but could this thread mean that Aaron Rodgers ends up getting more guaranteed money just because Mark Murphy and the Packers want to just shut it all up?
Yep.
And if that is the case, then, oh, man,
hey,
then really players
Aaron
are going to be driving saw
Mark
a lot of this stuff.
Aaron Rodgers saw Mark Murphy fly down to Mississippi to offer Brett $20 million just to stop talking and not come back. He knows what to do.
Yeah, there's money to be made. Well, and that's where I started before you did your rant.
Right.
Before you did your rant, that's the thing. I want Packers fans that are especially are younger, go back, because the only difference now, this journey that we are about to be on, we have started on Sunday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are now on a journey, and we could win the Super Bowl next year. We're still on this stupid freaking journey, and it is the journey of the transition to the next.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we now have social media and everything else to, like, but 2007, 2008, 2009, those were very turbulent years as Packer fans, and there was a lot of, like, it just wasn't good, and I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, I know. Hey, to Zaytoven on YouTube, nobody has an answer. What did Rodgers do? The defense gave him 3 turnovers. Buddy, we talked about it for like 20 minutes at the beginning of the show.
Click DVR.
Catch up.
There's a DVR feature.
Catch up. There's a thing. Rewind, dog. Rewind. Welcome. Welcome.
All right, we should,
welcome to the internet.
We should go to Super Chat.
Yeah, why not, right? God, it just makes me mad. Like, you won't answer. You won't answer. Dude, answered hours ago. Welcome. All right, let's get it. Luke. Luke's first Super Chat does not feature a message, so I'll go to the second one. Thank you for everything you have done over the year. Cheesehead TV made this year feel good. Cheers from the tent. Luke, A, thanks for that message. Thank you for joining the Patreon happy hours when you do, man. We really appreciate the support, and thank you for the Super Chat, man. It really means a lot.
Thanks, Luke.
Con Krug,
it's fun to see him in the tent too.
I know, it's great. Con, do we have a final Pappy's total for the year? If so, add another $5 to the pot. Thanks for everything you have done over the last several months. That is very nice of you, Con.
I don't think we have anything official close to it. It's like 5. I think it's like 500 or 600. I think at this point,
dude, come on. It was 500 or 600 like 2 weeks ago. Come on, no, it's way above that. We got to be hanging around 800, 900, somewhere around there.
Okay,
that's all I'm saying. Aaron Gonzalez, thank you for the Super Chat. Not to bash other fans, why apologize for that? But damn, it pissed me off to see dudes talking about the draft during the watch party while Packers trying to come back, SMH. Aaron, I feel you, man. I feel you. Look, this is the thing. I know Corey and I get ridiculed at times because we are very passionate and very opinionated about how we fan and how we do not like how other people may fan in regards to the draft industrial complex, however you go about your game day routines, etc. That doesn't mean you can't or shouldn't do it. Totally understand. Be the fan you want to be. Some people, that's how they process it, right? You know, it's we're losing. We're down 28-10. Oh, God. We really need to draft this.
Let's think about something else. We need
to draft this guy, or we need to focus on that position in the draft. Like, I kind of get it, you know? Yes, live in the moment. If I was at an actual party, like Corey can attest to this, when we watched the first Super Bowl together, we watched the 96 Super Bowl together, if someone started talking about the draft, I would fucking lose my mind on them live. But, you know.
I would kick them out of my house.
Yeah,
I think I would kick them out of my house.
But, you know, I understand that we're not all going to process it the same way.
Here's what kind of blew my mind, and I always knew this, and like you live this more than I do, but like especially being here now, is it never stops. Like, and I'm glad it doesn't. Like, I'm happy that it doesn't stop, but it's like, you know, Monday I'm thinking about the Packers, like, and that's right. always how my life has been. But now, like, I make content for it, so it's like even right. different. But like, it changed, but it didn't. You know what I mean? Where yeah, it's like, I still would be thinking about them all the time, but it's not like,
well,
like, it's just crazy. Right. The season's over, but really, the next season has begun on Monday.
Of course,
it's for the first time in my life, I really felt like that. I really felt like. Oh, instead of like putting the Packers away, I'm not putting them away. No.
I'm
not
going
to do that as much as I've been trying this week.
Well, I had someone in the Packers Daily chat this morning saying, like, was thanking us for not only these shows, but Packers Daily every morning and the Patreon happy hours. It's like, none of that's going to stop people. The transplants will stop, but everything else, Cheesehead TV, we're going to be doing content all throughout the offseason. We've got tons of really fun stuff cooking up for you guys. It's going to be good. It's going to be a lot of fun. David, thank you for the super chat. Will they fire Pettine, and if so, who replaces him? I have no idea who replaces him, but I don't think they need to fire him. As we talked about earlier, sounds like there's a good chance his contract is up, and maybe Matt just lets him walk. So we will see. Merc, 1987. Thank you for the super chat. Cheesehead TV rocked this year. Thanks so much. I must ask, is it too salty that I refuse to watch the other 12 anymore? Perry was right. He has had too much. Tom Brady's good, man. You can't begrudge him for being good. I mean, you can, but he's good. He's really fucking good. I don't begrudge him. I don't begrudge him for that. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. I'm going to have a ball doing it. And I'm going to think, man, we should have beat that team. That's pretty much what I'm going
to
do.
I want him to lose, though. I don't want him to win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be actively rooting for the Chiefs. There's no doubt. They're a much better story as far as I'm concerned. And I love Mahomes, and I love Andy Reid.
Normally, so I don't root for the AFC, though. I'll be honest with you. Normally,
no, I know you don't.
AFC because I used to care about such things, but now I don't.
I know.
Now I've distilled. I've done a distillation in my life where I've just pared away everything but the Green Bay Packers. Like, fantasy football, no. There's other teams. NFC, no. There's other teams. Just get it right down to its core essence.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mark Ingram, thank you for the super chat. Thanks, guys, for an amazing season and great content. You made the season fun. Thank you. I mean, I said it on Daily this morning. Corey and I talked about it last off season when who even knew if there was going to be a season? We didn't know. But once it became apparent that they were going to play football games, yet no one was going to be there. It was really Corey driving that bus of, well, let's do watch parties every week. Let's make, you know, try and drive even further into this community because we've done watch parties before sporadically, but this is the first year we did them for every single game. And I think, I mean, I don't know, who knows? There's been nothing decided yet, but I think that's probably going to continue because it was a lot of fun. And it was a really good time.
I think what we need to do is we need to do basically watch draft party instead of an actual broadcast. We do what we did last time, but we do it longer and it's like a watch party.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Totally down with that. Ben Stockings getting serious here, getting football serious. After we went down one score, Matt LaFleur said on the mic'd up that we need to spread it out and air it out. To me, that makes no sense considering the offensive tackle play. Could not agree more, Ben. Talked about it earlier. They lost their identity. They completely lost their identity. I don't understand it. To me, again, Matt's a young coach. It's unfortunate that this is a really bitter pill he's going to have to swallow, and he's going to hopefully learn from it, but he's got to learn from it because I'm with you, man. I didn't think that made any sense at all in any way, shape, or form. Jocelyn, thank you for the super chat. Agree with Corey. Hall of Fame quarterback leading an all-time great offense converts consecutive timeouts, turnovers into two straight three and outs. Much tougher than blaming the field goal, refs, or King. Hard pill to swallow. Doctor recommends to wash it down with brown liquid. Well, is that whiskey or Drano? I don't even know. Is Drano brown? I'm not sure.
Little mix of both.
Little mix of both.
If you're gonna drink Drano, you might as well have some whiskey with it.
That's
you know
fair
what I'm
point.
Saying?
Great point.
Kill yourself while you're killing yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Jesse Campo, thank you for the super chat. Preston had a great rush on the Redmond dropped INT. That's the thing. I did like I said earlier, I think there were plays there off and on. There were flashes, but for the most part, they didn't affect the game. That play could have, but for the most part, pretty MIA. But yes, you are right, Jesse. That is a very good point. Stanley.
Well, you know what?
Oh,
you know
sorry.
What? Hey, you know what would have been the difference in that game and why we lost is because we did not have a BJ Raji like interception pick six.
We needed that.
You know what I'm saying?
Was that the key?
We needed. That's what we were looking for, something from our defensive line. You know, Kenny Clark had some great stuff, but we didn't have that like seminal moment, right? We had the Tremont Shields picks with Jair's picks and Yanamis, right? But we didn't really have that like, you know, linebacker defensive line like shutdown takeover moment. You know what I'm saying? Reggie White back-to-back sacks.
You know Corey, what really – I know you've been shying away from the subject, so let's just put it out in the open. I know what really happened is that you didn't take your shirt off, buddy. I told you. I told you on Matt's show night before the game.
I said I was going to take my shirt off if the Packers were winning.
If they win it, if they show a shot of Corey Behnke in his seat with his shirt off, they're going to win the game. It wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't matter if they were winning or not.
No, I didn't understand. No,
you,
I thought you,
you let
you
us
were
all
winning.
Down.
I was
you.
Prepared. Nagler, I was prepared to take my shirt off, which no one needs, but I needed us to get up. And basically, I was waiting for us to get ahead.
And
then
happened.
I was ready. I was on it. By the way, I made the leaderboard, though. I did make the leaderboard. I made you proud.
Nice. Well done.
I made the big screen. There.
Look at you. Good job. Stanley Williams, thanks for the super chat. Here comes Chris Richard, from formerly of Seattle and Dallas. I guess he's a possibility. Is he a LaFleur guy? I don't know. I think LaFleur's obviously probably got a short list if he is looking for somebody. I have no idea if Chris is on it, though.
I said this in the happy hour, and I just want to tell everybody this. Like, if you can just, you know, get back with QB1, this whole, like, you know, thinking ahead, thinking positive, like, the place right now that's like where I'm most at peace is when I think about July, like when I really think hard about July and what it means and like this whole, like the whole notion of pre-camp and like what pre-camp can be and what camp can be. And I'm just taking my hat off and I'm putting it on that shelf. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I love it.
Trying to find that place.
Have a little David Bakhtiari podcast where he comes over to the house again. Get coach over for a Packer transplants. Nice
you
summer.
Start happy hour at 4.
Nice summer afternoon.
And you're like, oh, the sun is beating too hard. I don't know if I can talk about practice. Okay, let's go inside.
Let's go in the air conditioning. Oh, now you got me all verklempt over here. Khan, thank you for the super chat. You're not going to hear anything more truthful today than what Corey has said about Aaron Rodgers driving the narrative. Plus $5 for Pappy. Thank you, Con.
Thanks, Con.
Very nice of you. William Glass, thank you for the super chat. I feel like we are in the Scooby-Doo episode where Fred pulls off Petten's mask and we see Dom sitting there. The Pack could use a punch you in the mouth, D. You know what's crazy is I was talking about that with Matt Bowen the other day. Where I was saying, like, it's been a continuation of the same kind of problems. It's yes, they are different schemes, but they're both rooted in the 3-4. They both have these, like, kind of real vulnerabilities in the middle. And, yeah, some of the pieces have changed, but, man, it feels the same. I'm with you, William. It would be nice to have a complete switch as far as not just scheme, although I do think a scheme switch is a possibility, but just an attitude adjustment, just a tweak of a little nasty, you know, a little nasty on defense rather than being so passive.
That's like
so reactionary.
That's like inflation, right? As soon as you think you got a little bit of inflation, you got a lot of inflation.
I know. I feel you. But I understand what William's saying in regards to like, oh, look, it's the same dude. You know, it's like I think Mike did a good job this year in the sense that like the defense was not good early in the year and they got pretty damn good by the end of the year. Obviously, they had a meltdown at the worst possible time, but then they also kept the Packers in this game on Sunday. It made it possible for them to come back and provided ample opportunities for them to take the lead. So, you know, it's hard for me to kill Mike too much on what could be on his way out the door. We don't know yet, but I feel you, William, is what I want to say. I totally feel what you're talking about there. Overshadow Sean, thank you for the super chat. Another season complete. Thank you, Aaron, Corey, Lil Tun, and everyone at Cheesehead TV for all the hard work. Hope to see everyone back in the chat in 2021. Thank you, Overshadow. It's very nice of you. You know, you guys, this is what we do. Like Corey said, we always think about the Packers, so it's nice just to be able to get on a, you know, set and Corey's home and get on, throw on some headsets and talk with like-minded folks. Whether you agree with us or not, I know some people just hate watch, and I totally get it. Thanks for the engagement. but we also hear from a lot of people. We do hear from a lot of people.
Peter Bukowski hate watches this show.
I have zero doubt. But we do. We hear from a lot of people. We got a really lovely message in the inbox this morning. Just people thanking us for what we do here at Cheesehead TV. And look, we love it. We obviously are obsessed with the team, and this is, you know, it's the whole reason this whole thing started. But thank you guys for showing up every day for Packers Daily, every week for Transplants, for all the watch parties. This season has been a ball. It has been an absolute ball, and in a very fucked up year. This is kind of the one bastion of fun, you know, for lack of a more simplistic and incisive word, that I've had. I've had a ball, and it's been great sharing this Packers journey with all of you in 2020. So I can't thank you guys enough. You got anything else there for the fine folks at home there, Corey?
I saw a couple more super chats coming if you want to grab them.
Hold on.
Hold, please.
I'm clearing the queue, Corey.
I saw them while you were doing it. I thought you were going to go right into I think it's pretty amazing. I think the Patreon and the YouTube community, I think everybody's really great. And I think it's been, you know, definitely helped me this season, starting with trivia and everything that we did, everything we were able to accomplish. And, you know, let's keep it going. I wish we were in the Super Bowl, guys, but we're not.
David Ashman. David, thank you for the super chat from across the pond, apparently. Okay, rephrase. Who would you like to replace Pettin? Wade Phillips still good? Shout out from Ireland. Thanks, both of ye, for all the content this year. Did you really say ye? Well, you're leaning into that. I love it.
I like it.
Wade Phillips, I doubt it. I mean, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur's best friend, fired Wade Phillips. I can't imagine he's going to phone up Sean and go, so how was Wade when you fired him? You know, I don't know. Maybe, but I would tend to doubt it.
I hope that he gets somebody like, I don't know, somebody like himself, the pick you didn't think of.
Yeah, man, that's a good possibility. AVA Jiraiya? Thanks for the super chat. Sorry, just got off work and switched you guys on. Kevin King and the special teams coordinator, what do they do there? I mean, love you long time, boys. Cheers. Well, I think they allow Kevin King to walk. Kevin King will not be back, if I had to guess. And they've reportedly fired Sean Meninga. So there you go. Answer. The Packers answered pretty much for you right there. Adam Smith, thank you for the super chat. Wasn't our defense ranked 9th, the best in 10 years? Why so much hate for Pettin? Situational football. I mean, it's that simple. It's fine to be ranked certain spots, and yes, top 10 defense, great. And like I said, I don't think it was less than 5 minutes ago. He did a phenomenal job as far as taking a defense that at the beginning of the year was not playing very well, got them to a really good spot. However, you still have to deliver situationally, whether that's third and short and allowing easy completions, or say, let me think about it, fourth down with 6 seconds to go in the NFC Championship game, and you call a fucking man call, and you let everyone just run by you with a single high safety with Savage in the box. What the fuck is going on? That's, to me, that call in that situation is a fireable offense. To me. I mean, that's just me. I'm not in charge of the team. I'm not the head coach. I don't make these decisions. But I would have had a real hard time not firing Pettin at halftime when we walked into the fucking locker room. So that's why. That's why so much hate for Pettin. Just so you're not. Just so.
You just channeled Brandy right there.
I'm just, just putting it out there.
I mean, and it's so funny too, because literally your identity is you have a soft ass defense that plays like prevent coverage. So the one time you think you would do it.
The one time you need it, and you have a man call with a single high safety. It was Vegas involved here. Like, I don't know. There should be an investigation. Because what? Finally, Jared, thank you for the super chat. Menenga gone. Praise hands. Poor Sean. Poor Sean Menenga.
That's a great way to end it, though. That's
poor
just
Sean
like...
Menenga. I mean, I think Sean was a little bit over his head the entirety of his time in Green
Bay.
They
almost ran one back in the NFC Championship game. They got like to the 55.
Yeah, they did. They did. Well, hopefully they can turn that around. But we'll see. Corey,
we'll see.
You mentioned the Patreon happy hour a little bit ago. I can't thank the Patreon members for Cheesehead TV enough. You guys have been amazing all year. Your support means the world. And we have had a ball each and every week on those happy hours. They are not going to stop. We're going to be doing them every week throughout the offseason. Your support means everything. If you guys want to join, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. Lots of different membership levels. A lot of you have been jumping on board annually, giving an annual membership, which I got to say is it really means a lot, the sense that like you're in for the long haul. So thank you very much. If you want to, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. If you can't, trust me, I totally get it. In this day and age we're living in, lots of uncertainty still out there with the economy or what's going to happen with COVID, etc. Just the thing you can do for us more than anything else is subscribe on social, whether it's here on our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, hit like, hit subscribe, and tell all your friends and family about us. We're diehard Packers fans. All right, Corey, anything else before we go?
No, I wish the Packers were in the Super Bowl.
Well, that'll do it for this episode and this season of Packer Transplants Live. We'd like to thank everyone who joined us all season long and who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
And I think there may be a misnomer among yourselves and the others at Cheesehead TV. Is that right?
That is correct.
That maybe if the 2nd and 10 is called and it's a run pass and I'm going to choose to pass out of spite for the
I can not spite. You. I didn't say spite. Come on now.
Okay.